At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside. Happy Tuesday. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Giddy up.
Live, as always, from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection. Over 10,000 recommended installers, TireRack.com. The way tire buying should be. Well, can't say it's not fun. If you turn this game off middle of third quarter because the Pelicans were getting boat raced, well, here we are now, 38 seconds left to go. First play-in game, winner gets the Nuggets, loser waits till Friday night to get the winner of the game later on tonight between the Warriors and the Kings. Lakers lead the Pelicans 104-102. There's 38 seconds left to go, and the Lakers have the ball. The story of this comeback has been Zion Williamson. In his first career playoff game, he has gone nuts. But this game right now, I can't believe it. Like, if someone said to me, hey, can you encapsulate Zion Williamson's career in one game? And I would say, yes, it's this game. 40 points, he is unstoppable. When it looked like the Pelicans had no energy, he would bulldoze his way to the hoop, up and down the floor like a freight train. He kept them in it. He rallied them. They knew where they're going with the ball, and still he's scoring, and they cut the lead, and they tie the game. And then after a little turnaround bunny jumper in the lane, he comes down wrong on one on a foot, comes out of the game, goes to the locker room, and he has been out of the game for the biggest part of the game, the last 3.5 minutes. Unstoppable. Unstoppable. What we all thought. And then the biggest part of the game, when the Pelicans need it, he just comes down wrong after taking a jump. This wasn't anything. It wasn't bad physical contact. It was just he turns around, jumper, comes down, and comes off the floor, very mad, walking off the floor into the locker room to be evaluated. He is still in the locker room being evaluated, and the Lakers still have a 2-point lead here with 30 seconds left to go.
Randy Van Warmer is now the artist of the night.
Oh! You think Mary Mack knows who Randy Van Warmer is? Come on.
She will by the time the night's done.
Come on. Tyshirt's not here. It's Randy Van Warmer. I mean, that's going to be a big deal. You get Randy Van Warmer in the show.
You guys do know Google exists, or I can just Google it.
Do you know who Randy Van Warmer is?
No.
All right, there you go. Okay.
You will.
He was the fourth member of NSYNC.
Oh, nicely done.
Yeah, the only guy that didn't have a solo career. That was him.
40-11-5, a decided turnaround from the game this weekend, right, where in the post, frustrated all night by LeBron and AD. Instead, tonight he gets whatever he wants. You see him dribble the ball like a man possessed. Shades of a bit of the LeBron James echoing Clyde Drexler of generations past of, I'm going to put my head down and I'm going to get into the basket.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get in my way?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get knocked on your ass. But when he goes off to the with the injury, he goes to the bench first, and then he gets up and storms off like mad dad.
Yeah,
like you stole my meal like, or whatever.
When he stormed
you
off.
You drank my last beer.
It's weird because it looked like it's a leg. And again, we don't know what it is, but he was limping coming off the floor, and he kind of points to the bench. He sits down, and then he gets up. And he just storms off to the locker room.
He fires a towel down.
And it almost looks like how a player looks when they say, no, you got to get your head checked out. Like, no, I'm fine. Oh, come on. Like, that's almost what.
Because
that's usually.
Protocol,
yeah, like, no, I'm fine. Like,
I'm forcing you off the court.
Yeah, but he walks off the court. Nobody's around him. Like, it's not like there's any medical personnel around him. He kind of gets up and slams a towel down and walks off and he stamps on his feet. I'm going, if it's a foot injury, why is he stamping on his feet?
Yeah, he wasn't walking gingerly. He's like, kind of stiff.
I don't get it, but everything was fine for him. And look, and look at the last possession that he had where he made that little bunny. You know, he's coming into the lane, stopping, pull back, looks like he's going to drive, steps back, spins, makes the shot, and then just probably lands awkward. Again, we're just guessing right now because there's been no update on it. Right. Zion is still in the locker room, but just how he left the court and how he walked off is really, really strange. And in that time, the Lakers have been able to maintain this lead. It's 106-102 now. AD has just hit two free throws, 15 seconds left. Pelicans have the ball, a game in which the Pelicans were dead. But I'll tell you what, for all the stories about this, Zion is the story. For the questions about him, how good is he going to his first playoff game? He is amazing. But just like his career, when you need him, he gets hurt. And it's not anything that it's his fault. It's just his body. And you don't can his body withstand the rigors of the NBA? And, you know, he made it all through this year. And I'm like, look, he made it all through this year. Look at this. And look where the Pelicans are. They're pretty good, right? And your 10 games over 500 is still pretty good. And then here it is in the play, in the first play-in game. And he comes down wrong and he has to come off the floor.
Played 70 games, averaged, what, 22-9 and 5.85, right? That's a pretty good stat line. For his 70 games, and they played that stretch run without Brandon Ingram, so they struggled a bit, which meant they get drifted down into the play-in round altogether because they were in that sixth slot for quite a while. But now having to finish with him off the court, and you just see how they've been able to work the post game, the Lakers, a bit more. I'm curious, you know, watching as much NBA as we do, the way things have been officiated in the low post are laughable to me. It always goes back to, you know, even the Shaq days of, if I back my ass into you and knock you off your spot, doesn't matter. That's perfectly legal. But if I face you and do it, now we can at least have a 50-50 discussion about it.
Well, the
it's
other
just
part
an
of
interesting.
It is.
And
it
when
is.
A foul gets called and when it doesn't, right? The offensive, hey, I can flail elbows and create as much space as I want. But if you tap me on my arm, damn it, it's a foul. And look, it goes both ways. But there have been a couple of sequences where AD creates an awful lot of contact and ends up getting bailed out after he goes awkwardly towards a shot.
Well, the Lakers have been to the free throw line. It is a distinct advantage for the Lakers at the line over the Pelicans. But this is the part of it is that, yeah, I get that it's going to be a big thing. Oh, look at the difference. Look at the difference in free throws. And I understand. But the whole part of it is that the Lakers are playing, and they play much more physical than the Pelicans do.
Sure.
And when Zion is freight training to the hoop, the Lakers do the smart thing. When LeBron has LeBron had a space, when it was a huge charge that he took in the middle of third quarter when the Pelicans were on a kind of a mini run, took a huge charge because he had positioning. When you don't have the positioning on Zion, okay, take the last three steps, my friend. We're going to do that. So
that was one of the funniest radio calls I've ever heard, though. Michael Thompson for the Lakers broadcast, because LeBron laid there for a minute. He goes, oh, get up. You didn't hit your head. Yeah, what are we doing here? Like, just calls him out in Ireland, you know, on the other side. He's like, well, I don't know. Maybe he hit. Like, no, come on. Enough with the drama. Get up.
It's not that big a deal at the free throw line. It's 28. It was at one point 20-4, which is a big deal. Now it's 28-15. AD is at the line as he gets fouled on the inbounds. He hit the first free throw to make it 109-106 with 2.5 seconds left to go. One more, and that's going to be it. And he hits it. So 110-106. New Orleans has the ball with 3 seconds left. You're looking for a three and a foul. And are you really going to get it? Probably not. The Lakers look like they're going to be moving on into the playoffs where they await the Denver Nuggets. And now Michael Malone can get really, really upset. Why ask me about that? You're playing the Lakers. Oh, right. Got it. Okay.
So is it going to be a competitive sweep again?
Got it. It'd be very competitive sweep.
As long as it's competitive sweep. No, look, great balance for the Lakers offense. You knew the Pelicans were going to give them a run today after getting blown out earlier this week. But losing, like everything, you know, you'd be like, I just want to see it come to its natural conclusion instead of, hey, this guy's running amok and taking over and scoring his 40 points, but he's got to miss the final 3.5 minutes. Like, damn it, it was just getting fun.
Well, look, and if you wanted to, you picked the Pelicans last night. I picked the Lakers last night because I thought, look, the Lakers are in their heads and realize that the Lakers are undefeated all time in play-in games. Like, you get the Lakers in a play-in game now, 3-0. You forget about anything else you saw. Undefeated in the play-in round. IST champions, undefeated in the play-in round. I mean, you're playing against history, Mike Harmon. History.
We were talking about it, though, with the in-season tournament, how you didn't get credit for the championship game. Still, you played an extra game. You got to check. But more wear and tear on the body. But congratulations to the Lakers. Succeed and proceed. Finish the job. Hit the free throws down the stretch. And AD, you know, you're going to put him to the line, and he's going to finish the job, right? The Pelicans, no answer. And look, once Zion went out, you're giving up a foot to LeBron James in terms of how you're trying to guard him. Yeah, it's like Caitlin Clark much of the year, right? It was like, oh, she's just passing over people, like what she did to Van Lith in that game against LSU, right? Kind of the same idea. All right, now he gets to back in and look around and pick his open man. So,
you know, this game, and this is the deal with the Pelicans, is the Pelicans still have too emotional of a team because they were winning. They're playing the first quarter great, and they're winning big, and Zion's out big. In the beginning of the second quarter, they turn the ball over a couple of times. The Lakers go on a run. They start hitting from three, and then it shoulders slump. And for two quarters, the Pelicans just kind of sat around. C.J. McCollum couldn't hit a shot.
Took a lot of bad shots. Yeah, early shot clock and nobody back under the boards.
Yeah, bad turnovers. We're forcing stuff. It's very immature and very much didn't know how to respond. Hey, it's a whole big, long game. And for the Lakers, just let them fall asleep for basically 2.5 quarters. And then Zion decided, just give me the ball, let me get to the hoop. And he's unstoppable. When he gets the ball in the open court, he is unstoppable. And the Lakers tried a couple of different ways to stop. They had Austin Reeves out on him on the perimeter near the end. He just spun away from him, went in for a dunk. Mm-hmm. Right? And so you got him down low, and LeBron is kind of checking him. And LeBron loses him for half a second, and it's a pass and a dunk. Zion is unstoppable, and that brought them back. But you expend so much energy having to come back because you're just dead for two quarters. It's an uphill climb the entire game. And by the time they got there, they were never able to take the lead. The best they could do was tie, which is great, but the Lakers always had an answer. They're a little bit better. They have more stars than the Pelicans do. And look, this is a night where they need a little bit more from Ingram and McCollum. Ingram wasn't efficient. McCollum was awful. And when that happens, I mean, to lose by four to the Lakers right here, that's a bit of an achievement when your other two best players were crappy and you had one guy almost carry you. But now the big thing is going to be, what's Zion's injury? How's he going to be for Friday night when they have to get back at it against either the Warriors or the Kings?
Yeah, just an incredible run for Williamson, but, you know, give all credit to the Lakers. They got their moment and they shut up all the bad narratives that had been fostered over the last several days of should they lose this game on purpose and then make it a winner go home on Friday, just all to avoid the Nuggets.
Oh my God. I'm glad
that has been rendered moot.
I'm glad the people that say stuff like that, they're just come out and look stupid.
That was you Friday night, Jess.
I didn't say lose.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't say lose. I said you want to win so you can avoid the Nuggets.
You want us to go to the tape?
Yeah, go to the tape. I never said lose.
I'll pull it for next segment.
I never said lose. I never said that.
How do you spell lose?
I never said lose. DODGERS.
No, it's actually KNICKS.
All I want to say is all the folks that had those takes are two comma kids on an annual basis. So I'll take someone calling me dumb on Twitter for that.
Just so you know, Frostburg.
You handle that fire, though?
Yeah, bring it.
The Mets have eight losses and the Dodgers have eight losses. But the Dodgers have paid $1.4 million.
So in your world, the Mets are better than the Dodgers.
They've paid $1.4 million per loss. The Mets
whatever
only
makes you sleep at night, buddy.
$260,000. That's what it is. But yeah, over 500. Look at the Mets. No stopping us. Exit out by DeFresca. Exit Swollen Dome. I mean, we're waiting for word on Zion Williamson, but this game stands for his entire career till this point. It's amazing, but it does. We'll have more on this game coming up. And again, we have the big nightcap between the Warriors and the Kings in a true winner-go-home game. And we have numbers for you from last night that your eyes are going to pop out of your head like you're Daniel Jones at a press conference today. We have numbers from last night for you next.
Tacos!
This is Fox Sports Radio. Well, you put it off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack's got tires that'll elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. They'll show you the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from a full line of Goodyear tires. They're shipped fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. It doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/sports to see their Goodyear test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? It's TireRack.com/sports. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut, the new NBA podcast with me, Chris Haynes.
And me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So, listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Your podcast.
Drives and feeds, corner, three, Russell, bullseye! What a shot! Big time three by Russell!
Kevin Harlan on the call, TNT. The Lakers get a bingo from D'Angelo Russell in the final minute, and that was the final dagger of the game. The Lakers beat the Pelicans 110-106. They are now the 7 seed in the playoffs. They draw the Nuggets. Meanwhile, the Pelicans will get the winner of tonight's game between Golden State and Sacramento. This game just underway, 8-6. Warriors have the lead with about 9 minutes to go in the first quarter. And, of course, all eyes are on Zion Williamson because the guy owned the game tonight. Unstoppable. Everybody you watch. And this might have been a lot of people, and I'm not lying. This might be a lot of NBA fans' first time they watch Zion Williamson play a full game like this, I don't know, in a year and a half? Because it was his first playoff game. You generally, you know, how much do the Pelicans rate on national TV and Zion? But he's playing the Lakers, so a lot of people are going to watch. Sure. It's a big, high-profile game. This might be the first time a lot of fans have seen him play in a while and seen
other
an entire
than highlights,
game.
That's right.
And you watch that for the first 45 minutes, he was unstoppable. He was the Zion Williamson we thought he was going to be coming into the league. And look, whenever he has played, he has been great. Especially when he's motivated. He's one of those guys also that he needs a better motor. Like, he's one of those guys that needs to be motivated all the time. Tonight he was motivated. It was his first playoff game, and he has another level when he's motivated, which is the thing. You can't just be motivated when there's a big game. You got to be motivated other times. But you saw what he could do tonight. But as we talked about off the start of the show, there is no more right thing to say that this game stands for his entire career. He is amazing on the floor. He is a physical freak. But when they needed him, he came down wrong after a little jumper in the lane with about 3.5 left to go, left the game, missed the final 3.5 minutes, and the Lakers win. The Pelicans have to play again, and here's Zion dealing with yet another injury when he had gotten through the entire season, played 70 games. And look, what have I always said about Zion? Hey, he's great, but how long can you count on him for? Is he a guy you can count on? Because you got to hope that the injury that he gets will be early in the season and come back from it. This year now, suddenly it's 70 games, and now he's hurt. Now, hopefully he is okay and can play Friday, but this has been the thing with him for the last 5 years.
Well, it's the worst of it is that he did everything to basically flip off all the detractors and the folks that still make their living doing nothing but fat jokes and talking about the food and what he does in New Orleans in the off hours. Lost a bunch of weight, glides through the lane with ease, and even back when he was carrying more weight, physically was doing things that you marveled at. But again, to your point, how much wear and tear can you do on the body in that, you know, in that form that he had? Minutes per game, he was playing 31.5 a game in those 70 games this year. A lot of heavy workloads. And look, his work is done down low. So certainly had taken a number of body blows, delivering as many as he took along the way. We saw the in reference before the big hit and collision with LeBron James. But yeah, just frustrating as hell. You and I have watched a bunch of their games, right? We're in the studio, so you've got a four-pack of monitors plus our computers, iPads, and everything else. So we got to watch them a lot, and you marvel at what he was able to do. One question that's going to flow out of this, though. Brandon Ingram checked out of the game with 7:38 remaining. Never re-entered. Played 25 minutes tonight.
They were better without them. The Pelicans were, honestly, they were better without McCollum and Ingram. Like, they were. Like, when they came, McCollum couldn't hit anything from three. Ingram was not efficient. He wasn't very good tonight. And when did they start coming back? Well, when you had guys like Jose Alvarado come in and start hitting a couple of threes. So what are you going to do? Do you go back to those guys, or you stick with who brought you back? I think you got to stick with who brought you back.
Dance with who brung you, right?
Yeah, stick with who
brought
you back.
Especially if everything can end up touching the hands of Williamson, as it did, 17-27. On the night for his 40 points before departing. Just the frustration, I'm sure, Pelicans fans going back, you know, to that 2019 draft, ironically or coincidentally, curiously, whatever word you want to use. How many of the 2019 draft class that Zion was playing tonight? Because the Lakers have assembled them all. Like the damn Avengers out there. But yeah, just a frustrating finish because, you know, we were coming in to the studio. It's like, all right, there's 3 minutes left. Let's go. It's like, wait, he just mad walked into the locker room. Yeah. Damn it.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, look, Zion will get a lot of the attention and whatever his injury is. But I'll tell you who dodged a lot of criticism tonight was LeBron, because he was terrible tonight. He did hit a big three or a big bucket in the final 2 minutes to give them the lead. But how many times did he get the ball in the final 3.5 minutes, and I'm waving everybody off, and I'm doing the mellow, I'm going to hold the ball up and wait and let the shot clock tick all the way down, and LeBron would find a way to miss. And he kept missing.
Oh,
and
help defense.
And he kept calling for the ball, and he kept missing, and that kept the Pelicans in it. Like, the Lakers were spreading the ball around great tonight. Hachimura started to get involved. Austin Reeves, not a great night, but they were able to move the ball around, and it was really something to see. Like, when the Lakers got up to their 14-16-point lead, they were getting it from everywhere. And D'Angelo Russell had a big night. But at the end, it's like, this is going to now be LeBron one-on-one. And how many times did he get to the rim and was short, or get to the rim and he missed? And I'm saying, this is LeBron, like, third round of the playoffs, LeBron. Like, this is where, if you're tired, this is what you expect, third round of the playoffs, LeBron. Not the play-in game, for LeBron to be just absolutely gassed. Now, they do have a long time to wait. Now, you don't have to worry about it, a series for a few days. But he really, I mean, he was 6 out of 20 tonight. He was not good. And single-handedly, he was keeping the Pelicans in it, because when Zion left that game with 3.5 minutes left, this should have been, the Lakers should have won by 10. There's no way the Pelicans should have been able to stay in this game and make it a shot, possession, free throw game, but they did, because LeBron just kept missing shots.
Missed a bunch of layups.
He missed one layup in the final minute where there was nobody else on the floor. He got by both defenders, and there was nobody from the free throw line in, and he still wound up missing. I'm going, this is like layup practice, and he still wound up missing.
I think that play, you know, as we watched it, it was like, did he think he was going to get a foul? So it was just, he was flipping it up. And all right, it missed, so I'm going to get the call, because everybody's bouncing off awkwardly. Didn't get the call.
No.
Ball goes the other way. 6 of 20 from the field.
Scott Foster doing Scott Foster things in the game tonight. Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, it was a couple of those long reviews mixed into this game. Again, the criticism from the TV and radio broadcasts when they do that is always entertaining to me. It's like, we're bringing this in. All right, in theory, they're going to get this right. But at what cost? We were having a nice flow to the game, and now we're standing here, you know, at the end of a first quarter for 10 minutes. What are we doing?
If the NBA would do things right, you know, when they show the arrivals at the game, and they show, because, you know,
everybody's fit.
They want to see what they're and what they're wearing. They got to show Scott Foster coming into the game, too. Like, you know, here's Zion showing up, and here's LeBron and AD, and then Scott Foster. What? And don't forget Scott Foster.
What do you think his entrance music is?
I think that guy.
The Empire.
He tried to insert himself into that game early
on. He always does. He's the most important player in the league. He should be the MVP. Forget about Jokic. He guy should be the MVP.
If it wasn't enough, TNT putting up Darvin Ham already getting thrown out, ejected before the game even started.
Yeah.
But I don't know what game you guys were watching, but this was never in doubt.
Oh, dude, come on, man.
The Lakers are back, man.
Did you have 14?
That was the one thing I knew I had no doubts on. The game itself, maybe.
Never in doubt.
That I knew was coming.
Oh, man, I'll tell you.
He had a night off. The Dodgers are flailing.
Mm.
He's got to hitch his ride back on LeBron and the Lakers. That, and so he can send
what
that greasy
back? When did the guy get off?
The greasy chain that he can get back on it.
Explain to me when I got off.
You got quiet for a while.
Really?
Well, with the Lakers?
Yeah. When they lose, when they lose, you don't say anything.
When they don't play that night.
When they win, they're back. They're back.
That night.
When they win, that one time. They're back. Well, hey, I want to say, on behalf of the Knicks, welcome to the NBA playoffs. I want to welcome you and the Lakers to the NBA
playoffs. Bring on Mike Malone.
We're
and
ready.
The bleeping Nuggets. Let's go.
We are getting word in right now about Zion Williamson. This is coming in. It is a left leg soreness. They couldn't tell what part of the leg it was, but something happened to Zion. This is per Pelicans head coach Willie Green. There is some kind of left leg soreness. Imaging tomorrow, so he is going to go through imaging. That is the Zion Williamson injury, what we know of it right now. And again, it's weird. All right, let's not sugarcoat this thing. He goes in for a bucket with about 3.5 minutes left to go.
Nice little move.
And he comes down after a little jumper in the lane. And this is when he comes down, grimaces a little bit, points to the bench like, hey, I'm feeling a little weird. Comes off and sits down. There's a timeout on the floor, right? It's a tie game at this point. timeout on the floor, and when they come back from break, they show you this is what just happened moments ago. Zion is sitting on the bench. There's nobody around him. There's no medical personnel, and he gets up and he slams a towel and he stomps off into the locker room. Like, there's nobody. If you have a lower leg, something, do they let you walk? Do they just let you do that? Hey, don't stomp on your leg. Don't go crazy. Let's get you to the locker room. If it's that bad, do they let you walk? But he walked to the locker room and underwent whatever he underwent with 3.5 minutes left to go. It's very weird. It's just a really weird thing to see him just walk off. And again, it looked like how a player reacts when he's told you got to go into the in for concussion test. Like that's what it looked like, because he was mad. Because players get mad when they have to go in for concussion protocol. Say, hey, the spotter called down. You got to go. No, I'm fine. No, spotter called down. You got to go. Oh, I'm going to miss some plays. He goes into the tent, then comes back out. But he misses, you know, 3-4 plays, whatever it is. And that's kind of what it looked like. And now for lower leg, and I'm like, but nobody was around him, and they let him to stomp off the court and into the locker room. And it's, wait, what? It was
weird. Like when he stomped off, he looked like he was, you know, like a Frankenstein kind of stomp, right? Stiff leg kind of thing. Like, what the hell's going on? And then he was never to be seen again. Lakers 4-point victory as D'Angelo Russell is your star of the night, right?
To their defense, Mike, Zion season's over, so let him walk.
Yeah, he's got another game Friday.
They're going to get blown out by the Kings and Warriors. Come on.
So, again, wanted to bring you that news right there, that bit of breaking news for Zion Williamson. Left leg, lower leg injury of some kind.
Basically, it's a hockey injury. It's lower leg.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Upper body.
Upper body, lower body.
Upper body injury. How long are you out for? It's upper body. What is it? Not going to tell you. Upper body injury.
Just upper body.
That's what it is.
So that just means above or below the waist for those new to the lexicon.
Now, we'll have more on the NBA, more on Zion coming up in a bit. But you want to talk about numbers? I'll give you numbers. Because apparently no one is going to follow Caitlin Clark into the WNBA.
Never.
The numbers for the WNBA draft came in. Just under 3 million people watched the WNBA draft last night. This was 4 times the biggest audience they have had for it in its existence. But no one's going to watch Caitlin Clark. No one's going to watch. No one's going to WNBA. I'm pretty sure she's going to bring her own audience into the WNBA. I feel pretty confident in that, Mike Harmon. No matter how many people want to hate it and say it's not going to happen, I'm pretty sure people watch the WNBA draft when you know she's going number one. It's not like, you know she's going number one. No one knows the team she's going to. No one can name anybody on the team. It doesn't matter. You had nearly 3 million, and I'm sure when it's all said and done and you talk about, hey, here's what we had people watch streaming and different odds, it'll be over 3 million. That's a big bleeping deal, man.
Add all the impressions, right? It ranked third amongst drafts, not too far behind the NBA's product.
I mean, just think about that for a second. Just think about that.
But you have all of that star power and certainly everybody looking at the fits that everybody had going. Paige Becker showed up to support her teammates and everybody with a suit and fit kind of reminiscent of LeBron James' rookie white suit all those years ago. Obviously, Clark with her, what was it, Prada, right? With with some $17,000 outfit. So everybody started doing the, you know what that is in percentages of what she will make from the WNBA. So you have that. And obviously, Angel Reese, you know, had the hood and diamond encrusted this, that, the other. I mean, all
she was
that,
on Good Morning America.
She
today.
Was. But like, sell, like the interviews were great. Like we talked about it last night as it was going on. The fact that you have the draft and it's, hey, you know, Caitlin Clark's going to join us here in a minute. And what does she do? After she gets drafted, she's got the microphone. I was like, yeah, you know, getting to stay in the Midwest. We're going to move some tickets. You know, we're coming to your town. You know, get in now. And I guess in L.A. here, they're going to play down at the Pyramid. So they're not getting the full crypt experience. So you're only looking at, what, 5,000-6,000 people. So ticket here in L.A. against Cameron Brink. That'll be a big ticket item. All of that stuff. It's, you know, star power. And yeah, the brands are coming on board, just like you saw during the Final Four, during all of these events. They're coming and ready to spend money. Look what Taylor Swift brought to the Super Bowl and everything, right? All these cosmetic companies, all of these people were not traditional advertisers. Guess what? That's all been activated.
And it's not suddenly that you're going to see audiences of that's going to compete with Monday Night Football or something, but it's going to be a seat at the table for the WNBA because this is Caitlin Clark being a superstar. Again, she's going to have that kind of impact. I mean, it's like the WNBA is getting Steph Curry and Draymond Green because she's Steph Curry in her game and Angel Reese is Draymond Green. And it, not just on the court, but off the court too. She already talked about wanting to do, hey, I want to be on TV. I want to do what you guys do. And the ESPN crew said, don't worry about it. We got a seat for you.
But talk about how much she loves Chicago, about, you know, the shopping and just having been there, the food, whatever, embracing that. Her and Cardoso, right? We joked about it yesterday, you know, and they did during the draft. Like, good luck getting a rebound at us. And if Chicago suddenly becomes a force again, they had a little run with Deladon last decade, but now you get them involved. Brink maybe helps the resuscitate, you know, what the LA squad is. And then, obviously, Caitlin Clark in Indiana and running the Midwest. Yeah, good times ahead.
Exit out by DeFresca, exit Swollen Dome. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, live from the TireRack.com studios. Coming up next, while we're waiting to see how healthy Zion Williamson's going to be, the best player in the NBA might not be playing in the playoffs for a while. That story's coming up next right here. Jason and Mike. It's just Jalen Brunson is fine. It's the other best player. The other guy. That's next, Fox. Tired of feeling alone in your job search? Well, with just one connection, you can find endless job opportunities. That connection is Express Employment Professionals. Don't go it alone. Visit ExpressPros.com to find the location nearest you. That's ExpressPros.com. With the first round of the draft starting next Thursday, our thanks to Express Pros for being the presenting sponsor of Fox Sports Radio's draft coverage. Be sure not to miss Draft Night Live on Fox Sports Radio next Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, throughout the first round of the draft. And then, of course, we take over and come on just like we normally do. Insider Jay Glazer, former Cardinals GM Steve Keim, College Football Hall of Famer LeVar Arrington, Big Noon Kickoff's Rob Stone, pick-by-pick predictions and reactions to every first-round pick next night, next Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, throughout the first round of the draft and into us here on Fox Sports Radio, presented by Express Pros.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
PM Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
The Mets can take you there. They're a game over 500. I didn't think they'd get to 500 when they started 0-5. Fox Sports Radio.
What do they have? Six comeback wins or whatever that graphic was?
Mets.
What are you doing?
It's fun.
It was a graphic that they held up the entire postgame show.
So pretend like you never saw it.
Mets.
I'm all about
Mets,
the specificity.
No, I
wasn't going to be able to stop that. You kidding me?
I'm freestyling to Like a Prayer. Come on, man.
Ooh. We were watching the game before the show. We had this split screen, right? We got the Lakers and Pelicans up top and watched the end of the Mets, and he starts fist pumping and jumping around and like, yeah.
Let me tell you, you want a good Like a Prayer story?
You have a Like a Prayer story.
Yeah. This is really good. So, and then we'll get into Giannis. So when I was in college and I was DJ'd the morning show, I was Jason Mason.
Jason Mason back in the day. That's right.
So there was no
and the crazy
album
morning crew
that was more anticipated than Madonna's album than when Like a Prayer came out. And this was the first song off of it. So you know what they do in radio stations is there's like 20 songs that they call are hot songs. And these are ones you repeat every 3 hours. Like that was the thing. Every 3 hours you play these songs over the course of a 3 hour span.
Unless it's Christmas, my man, then it's a seven song set.
We're Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas for the next 24 hours straight. When Like a Prayer came out, you know, we have all these great big minds. They were like, you're play it every hour. What? Yes, every hour. So he played Like a Prayer once an hour for like the first week and a half.
Did those orders change once the video was released?
I'm like, oh my goodness.
Because certainly some radio stations had the orders to go against that once the video got released.
Leon was in that video. Yeah, Leon was in that video. Leon, who did a show with Rob Parker a couple of years ago, I remember meeting Leon. I was like, oh my God, dude, you're doing a show with a legend, man.
Leon from Curb?
No. Leon from.
Now I gotta say,
what is it?
Yeah. Well, what was his line? Ain't no one coming for you, Otis. Ain't no one coming for you, Otis.
Yeah. See, you know, Leon from Curb.
Yeah.
Or Leon Russell.
Leon Russell
would have been top Leons for me.
Sure.
Or the way we used to rearrange.
Leon Washington and the Jets.
My mom hated us, like growing up, because you know, for Christmas decorations, had the little L thing that spelled Noel. And invariably, within an hour, someone made it Leon. And then she'd go and change it.
I used to make it Leno again. For my grandmother. Hey, look, Jay Leno's coming. Yeah, that's great. You think Brian No just has the same thing and just takes the L off and that's his house, just says no?
That's what
I would do if I was him.
100%. Especially if it had lights and, you know, could blink.
So it looks like the Bucks are going to be without Giannis Antetokounmpo, potentially, for their first round series. When he got hurt last week, it was okay. Giannis is going to sit out. We'll see what the next week brings. And we told you how dangerous this was and how ripe they are to lose in the first round anyway. Now they're going to be without Giannis. They are hopeful that with his injury, with his leg injury, he can come back late in the first round. And talk today turned to what happens, right? Brian Windhorst was on ESPN and said, oh, hey, if they go out early, you got to figure out if Giannis is still all in or he might demand to go out to leave Milwaukee. Now, that sounds great in theory, but he's there for another 3 years. They gave an extension. Eventually, could I see Giannis asking out? Yeah, but obviously this year hasn't worked, and I can see in the offseason the main thing is going to be new head coach, and we move on from Damian Lillard. Like, don't start thinking suddenly Giannis is going to say, I want out, I want a new organization. He's always said, I want to stay as long as we're winning. Well, in this offseason, it's easy to say, well, things didn't work. We changed our coaches a couple of times. We went for it with Damian Lillard. You like that move. It didn't work out for us, but we've got something else big coming up, and they'll have to shuffle things around, bring in another star. They'll make some kind of move. Maybe Lillard will actually get to the Heat where he wanted to go first, but Giannis is not going anywhere this offseason. It's going to be new head coach and no Damian Lillard. That's where to focus on. Giannis will be for at least another year.
Well, that's the curiosity. What does Giannis want them to do next? Because they seemingly have done his bidding thus far. I don't like that guy anymore. Okay? Bye, Budenholzer. Hey, we're 30-13, but we don't really like this guy.
No, I don't like Griffin either.
See you, Griffin.
Get rid of him.
Who we got next? Oh, Doc's ready. He's been around. He's been advising. He's been an ear for the organization. Yeah, let's tag him in. And then we still suck. And we're actually worse. And defensively, we don't have any rotations. And Damian Lillard is a one-side guy. And as we've talked about, final minutes of game, nowhere to be found. Yeah. But Giannis, go ahead. Say you want out.
I'll tell you. Another year? Yeah, maybe. This offseason, not happening. Head coach, Damian Lillard goes. They try to figure it out. That's how
see what he wants
go.
Next.
We have more NBA on the way tonight. Could wind up being the absolute end of a huge era. That's next on.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
You have to trade Draymond.
He's their leading scorer at halftime.
You just don't realize that the dynasty is over.
Don't say it's over, baby. Don't say it's over.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the TireRack.com studios. Halftime, and it's the Kings by four. We could have 24 minutes left in the Warriors dynasty. But joining us now on a hotline, the man who is so incredibly happy because David Stearns, his former classmate, is rocking it with the Mets.
Oh, boy.
But unfortunately, Red Wings fan that he is, MLB Network insider, John Paul Morosi joins us now. JP, it was still an unbelievable season for the Red Wings.
It was indeed, and a surreal ending to it. To get you caught up, let's go with, as we call it in the industry, a TikTok of the pivotal moments tonight. The Red Wings find a way, 3 seconds left, David Perron scores, they force overtime. They've got to win this game and have the Capitals lose to make the playoffs. So they find a way, they get the game to OT. They win in a shootout. But while all this is happening, the Philadelphia Flyers, not realizing that by the Red Wings moving on to overtime and getting that point, that they would have then knocked the Flyers out of the playoff conversation, they pull their goalie in a tie game. So just for all the new hockey fans out there, you would not typically do that, okay? You would not typically pull your goalie in a tie game. But they pull their goalie in a tie game, the Capitals get an empty netter, and the Wings are eliminated. It is a surreal ending. The Wings, great building block season, but oh so close. Within, dare I say, one coaching decision perhaps away from making the postseason. What an extraordinary night in the NHL.
You know, go for it on fourth down.
Well, here's the thing is, and the thing is, JP, and this is really a horrible thing. Someone's got to tell them what's going on, because going in, the whole strategy for the Flyers was they had to win in regulation. Like, they couldn't go to overtime. Like, the only way they would stay alive, they had to win in regulation. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing was, hey, if it's tied at the end, they got to pull the goalie and get a goal. That's what they did. Of course, Washington scores the empty netter. But you got to have the coach, have somebody going, hey, Red Wings scored. It's going to overtime. We're good. You got to have somebody that can do that. You got to have somebody that can say, hey, I know we're in the game, but we don't need to do. Oh, man, that sucks.
Whose job was that? And again, it's not, let's be fair here, it's not the Flyers' job to worry about the Detroit Red Wings. It's not their responsibility. But it does appear that if they were communicating in real time, hey, the Red Wings made it to overtime, they got a point, we're out, let's just play this straight up and see what happens. I get it. And listen, the Red Wings, from having watched this team carefully, they dropped plenty of points in December, they've dropped plenty of points in March that they shouldn't have dropped, that any one of those points would have gotten them in. It honestly, guys, it had the feeling of, I'm not going to spoil it for those who have not done this, but it had some similarities to the final episode of Ted Lasso. Little bit. in some small ways, had some. I hope I'm not spoiling it for anybody. If you're listening to this program and you've never watched Ted Lasso, my condolences, first of all. And second of all, what happened to the Wings tonight, a little bit of a reminder to FC Richmond.
So wait, JP. So what was the final play for the Red Wings to score with 3 seconds left? The Sandman? What did they do? What was the play they used?
Hey! All I can say is football is life. Football is life, and hockey is life too. And you know what? Baseball is life as well.
Yeah, congratulations to Denver taking down Boston College to win the Frozen Four as well. So we've covered hockey. Now let's get into Major League Baseball. Should Dodger fans be panicking?
Ooh, that's a big question. And, of course, as we speak right now, they're in a pretty tight game against the Nationals. Panic is a strong word. Astros fans, I might be a little more on board with them panicking. But Dodger fans, to borrow the famous phrase, they are who we thought they were. They are because they have one pitching injury in Bobby Miller on top of still not having Buehler, and, of course, Kershaw is not ready yet. So when you have this level of attrition with your starting rotation and you have to go to a six-man rotation to make sure that Yamamoto is adjusted to the major league schedule and you've got to intersplice bullpen games and openers and calling guys up for the minor leagues because you're also worried about the workload of Tyler Glasnow, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have stretches where your pitching gets a little bit upside down for a week or 10 days, and you're all of a sudden not as good as you're expected to be for that short amount of time. Now, this team is going to the playoffs. I'm going to give a spoiler alert here. The Dodgers are going to be a playoff team, okay? But if this – I will say this. This last couple weeks, to me, has reaffirmed this is not a team that's threatening the Mariners' record from 2001. This team is a great team, a great collection of talent. But on a functional, day-to-day basis, it has flaws. And the most significant flaw is the lack of a steady drumbeat, consistent five-starter rotation. They don't have it. And I don't know if they ever will this year, if they're going to keep Yamamoto on a six-day rotation. I mean, that is where they are at. So this is a team that is about preparing for October, and if with the extra rest in October, it allows them to have roll out a rotation that has, they hope by then, a healthy Bobby Miller and a healthy Walker Buehler and a healthy Clayton Kershaw with Yamamoto and Glasnow and the cast of thousands. It's all great, but there's going to be some turbulence between now and then. And for that reason, look at the National League, guys. Look at the number of teams that have records that are the same or better than the Dodgers. Look at the Braves, maybe a little bit vulnerable with Spencer Strider out for the season. This is not the big two and the little 13 right now in the National League. It's a much closer league than a lot of people thought it was going to be.
And just wait for the Dodgers to win all those games, get in the playoffs, and the 85-win Mets behind Adrian Hauser and Jose Buda. They're all going to come in and beat the Dodgers.
They're in the conversation. I think Carlos Mendoza was the right choice as the manager. And again, I'll say this, Jason, they're playing well enough that it's not going to be a slam-dunk, easy decision to trade Pete Alonso. That, to me, is going to be a really interesting case. And that's where, with all due respect, my old teammate, David Stearns, when you think about how you utilize the Milwaukee Brewers roster, remember, he traded Josh Hader, and that trade did not work. I think it's one of the moves that he probably regrets from his time with the Brewers. But you can make that move in Milwaukee, and it's not going to necessarily be something that you hear about every day from everybody. As you know, Jason Smith, it's not quite like that in New York.
Hey, and when you talk to Stearnsy again in the next few days, tell him I give him a solid B-plus so far for everything he's done. It would be an A if our defense was a little bit better. But he gets a solid B-plus from me so far.
Specifically, next time I text him, and I'm happy to do this, do you have a recommended Jason Smith-approved lineup decision that you would like me to convey?
Oh, yes. Start Ohtani at DH every day.
Right. So that would be, if that were to happen in the course of this phone call, I would have to go because that would be the biggest trade in baseball history. But I'll say this. If you have a suggestion to offer, I mean this sincerely.
Okay.
Based on current personnel, just let me know. I at times I will text AJ Hinch with suggestions that my family offers because they're all very serious Tiger fans.
Wow, okay.
And I, not like, hey, AJ, you should do this. More like, my dad really likes Foley. You did a good job of closing with Foley. My dad likes the decision. We need more Foley in the ninth inning. Things like that I will...
So I could do this with the Mets. This is like when George Costanza with Seinfeld. I could be in on trades, Jerry. Trades. Right, this is me right. having a real-life voice with the Mets.
But you got to know my style here. I'm not, and you know this about me. I'm not one of those hypercritical Monday morning quarterback guys. I'm more about positive affirmation. Like Jason Smith thinks Alonso should stay in New York. Jason likes the idea of Jason likes what he sees from Beatty at third base. He's settling into more of a role. Those types of things are okay. More of an affirmation guidance, that sort of idea.
All right, I got a quick one for you, because then Harmon's going to get it on the Astros, because everybody's happy about that. I got one for you. I got one for you. At some point, Christian Scott's got to come up, right? At some point, he's got to come up, right?
The Mets farm system is, as I'm transitioning here to Mike's question, the Mets farm system is in a better place than the Astros farm system, because the Astros have had to make some moves to sustain this team for a long time. I'm thinking that the Astros' streak of ALCS appearances will end this year, because they do not have a Scott analog to call up right now in their farm system. How about that for a transition?
That's a pretty good transition. He's Ja Paul Morosi, at Ja Morosi, where you find him on Twitter. Leave out the H because Mom said so. Hi, Mom. JonMorosi, MLB Network, our insider here, joins us each week on the show. Jason Smith with me, Mike Garman here from the TireRack.com Fox Sports Radio studios. Yeah, it's, you know, we're watching the Warriors in their play-in tournament game here, JP. So same kind of idea with the Astros. Bunch of injuries and kind of wishing and hoping to get that pitching staff right. Meanwhile, Altuve putting up his numbers but not getting a lot of support. So I don't think too many people are crying. I was going to make it a five-minute soliloquy about how you have to take my manifesto to the desk of the White Sox, but I don't imagine you're going to be assigned any more of those games because there's nobody watching those.
Oh, I'm watching the White Sox carefully. It's, of course, led by a fellow Michigan native in Chris Getz, but you make a very good point.
Can you send him my notes? Because I agree with a lot of what A.J. Brzezinski had to say.
The notes there would say, when will Luis Robert Jr. be healthy? When will Yoan Moncada be healthy? There's a lot of questions about when that next generation is coming up. Let me know when Colson Montgomery is ready. That'll be another one that we talk about.
Make sure he actually hits more than once every week. But yeah,
right. The pride of Jasper, Indiana. But yes. So at any rate, to the question about the Astros, I'm a little bit worried about the way their rotation is set up. A lot of injuries there, and Verlander gave up a number of runs in his last rehab outing. I just don't see it coming together. And there's going to be a year, and this is interesting, where if it doesn't come together, do you trade Bregman? Do you trade Tucker? Now, Bregman's a free agent after this season. Tucker's a free agent after next season.
Right.
They're not there yet, but you do start to wonder where, honestly, in my view, there would be at least as much of a case to trade Bregman as there would be for the Mets to trade Alonso. And by the way, now that we're on the subject of the NBA play-in tournament, how are the Pistons doing in their play-in tournament?
Oh, they're doing well. They didn't lose tonight.
Okay,
so it's good. They did not lose tonight.
My understanding is the Pistons have fared so well that they have been promoted directly to next season.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I think they go past next season and into 2026.
Right. So and this is where I thank the NBA commissioner's office for not instituting promotion and relegation, because otherwise we'd be down to the G League or maybe the Z League at this point based on the way that the business is played.
Hey, JP, real fast before I let you go. Look, the biggest story in baseball yesterday, the surprise retirement of John Sterling, 30 years play-by-play man for the Yankees. Three generations of fans grew up listening to John Sterling. What was your reaction when you heard that news? And, you know, here's a guy whose voice is synonymous with Major League Baseball and the most historic team is stepping away.
Sure. Iconic voice, true gentleman. I always enjoy my conversations with John when I see him in the press box. And one of the, to me, one of the great marks of a broadcaster is that whenever any player would sign with the Yankees, the question instantly was, what's John Sterling's home run call going to be for him? And that's some serious currency in a profession that changes a lot and people come and go. The consistency of what he's been able to do is really, really special. And I think too, the way in which he truly was comfortable being himself. Any of us that's ever spoken into a microphone in this business, we've had the same advice. Someone says, hey, you got to be yourself, which is great advice. It's hard to follow sometimes because it is a competitive business and you got a microphone there and we're always, you know, in the public eye to an extent or at least the public ear. And I love that John Sterling has been, always will be, John Sterling. And he never was trying to do an impersonation of anybody else. He was being himself. And I mean, listen, he had an amazing career even before baseball. He did the NBA, the Hawks, called some great games with Dominique Wilkins. But I think he's the voice of the Yankees, the voice of baseball, and someone whose voice is a huge part of the way that a lot of people experience the game. And I'm going to miss seeing him around the press box, but I'm going to cherish all the conversations that we've had.
And if he was on with us right now, he would say, John Paul Morosi, we say adiosi. We'll see you next time. JP is
well
always
done.
Better. You like that?
Now
huh?
that everyone was extemporaneous radio brilliance from my friend Jason Smith.
Hey, I got to earn my keep if I want you to give messages to David Stearns. I got to make sure I'm working at high level.
Keep going. Keep building the faith, my friend. I love it very much, Jason. Mike, I look forward to this every week. Thanks so much.
Be good, buddy. Night. We'll talk. Now we're gonna go watch Top Cat. The way you did that,
man. I could have input on the Mets personnel. This is like the greatest moment of my life. I saw
you order a whiteboard for
Mets
the studio.
Personnel
we're in
decisions.
Trouble. He's got a grease board and markers coming.
Trades, Jerry. I could be making trades.
All of a sudden, he's hooking up all these data feeds, tracking minor leaguers across organizations.
This is all I
you
ever
now
wanted.
Have something to do with your days.
I can't play shortstop anymore for the Mets, but I can be in on personnel decisions. This could be. This is it. This is it, man. This is it. It's just like being an unpaid intern, but you, being at the very highest level of unpaid internness.
Your big
internness.
Break is finally happening.
This is it, man.
All these years, it's
text
led
messages
to this.
About the Mets.
I just wanted
the guy
him to
running the Mets.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.